Good evening and welcome inside the Better Clubhouse on this Tuesday, April 22nd, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, Sea Dogs Brewing, serving breakfast daily, and Michelob Ultra and Ultra Zero. This is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. Check us out on Spotify, part of the Tampa Bay Podcast Archive, part of Radio St. Pete. I am Christian Champ Sharp, part of your normal clubhouse crew, riding solo tonight. We decided to give Sammy some much-needed R&R after his successful run of March Madness, and then we followed that up for Sammy playing the Masters, obviously, and then another signature event last week. So kind of odd schedule right now, kind of a lull in the system, probably not hearing a lot of golf. We do got a tournament to talk about, a single one this week. We'll get into that. But thing to note with for golf this right now, 23 days. That's only 3 weeks and 2 days. For those doing math at home, it's going to be the second major. We're talking about the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow. Obviously, we know about Justin Thomas last week. He lines up great at Quail Hollow. Roy McIlroy 2 weeks ago at Augusta lines up great at Quail Hollow. Should be a great one, just 23 days away. Just giving you a little heads up, a little housekeeping. So two parts of the night show. It won't be all hour of the Zurich Classic, even though we could go into the teams and birthdays and astrology signs and zodiac and all that good stuff we could do. Hit me up on X if you want to go down the deep dive of the Zurich Classic for a full hour. Champs 311 there. Hit up Sammy at Sammy AV Bets. So we're just going to do 30 minutes. We'll do a quick recap of the two tournaments last week. Also looking forward this week, going to the Big Easy, talking about the Zurich Classic, the only team event on the schedule this week. At the bottom of the hour, 7:30, we'll have Bob Bauer, a name that of the Radio St. Pete crew knows about. He's been on it before, talking handicapping for horses. Yes, we are 2 weeks away from Running of the Roses and the Kentucky Derby. May 4th, May 3rd, looking forward to that. Also going to give us some insights into Tampa Bay Downs and that, what he had his part in the front up there. We're looking at 100 years, the centennial of Tampa Bay Downs here in the St. Pete, Tampa Bay area. Looking forward to that. That'll be 7:30 second half, kind of handicapping that for your novices out there looking to bet or trying to get the right hat. And we'll dive into that with Bob Bauer in the second half. So jam-packed show here, and before I dive into the recap there, go ahead and sign up for our newsletter. We send out one on Monday. I did it for the Zurich Classic. See all those results there. We'll see everything that you need to know about the course, the players, who's at my top 10%, top 20% of the field, bottom 20% of the field. We'll break down that for you. And then on Wednesday, anything you miss on this show, it'll be on in our Wednesday newsletter. You get all that for free. Just go to the Better Clubhouse, B-E-T-T-O-R, thebetterclubhouse.substack.com. Sign up there. Sammy's in the final midst of putting a bow on our website, thebetterclubhouse.com. Sign up for there to get newsletter. We'll put out a newsletter on there. We'll have Spotify up there. We'll have our picks up there. We'll have our record. You can see our faces, but they are made for radio for a reason, and we're on podcast doing that there. So thebetterclubhouse.substack.com. Follow me on Twitter. Champs311, follow Sammy at Sammy AV Bets. So yeah, let's just take a little stroll back past weekend. Obviously happy, let me be the last one to wish you. Hopefully you and your family had a great Easter. I know my kids were off on Friday for Good Friday there. They've actually been off yesterday as well, so they were itching to get back out there. But hopefully your family had a nice long weekend. Obviously plenty of great golf action out there that we saw. Justin Thomas, and I wrote about this in our newsletter that dropped on Monday. It's been 1,064 days. Hard to believe, but Justin Thomas came back into the winner's circle with a playoff victory there over Andrew Novak. Just for those and me math nerds there, that's 1,532,160 minutes between victory there. 16th PGA Tour victory for Justin Thomas. Unfortunately, the clubhouse crew was not on Justin Thomas, and I can really circle why pretty easily here, is the caddy situation, right? It was the second straight week that I think really helped Justin Thomas there with Joe Greiner on the bag, former Max Homa caddy. And it was nice to get into that press conference afterwards, and or the interview, I guess, and just saying, oh, and Joe was like, man, I never played with this guy, Andrew Novak. You heard of him? And obviously, Justin Thomas says, yes, I actually did. I played a practice round with him, and he proceeded to go out and shoot 59 at the Travelers. He played in a practice round that week. So he got some familiarity with his game there. He said this guy can go low. Obviously, gave him a scare. I mean, we're an 8-foot putt away from saying Charleston, South Carolina, native there, local favorite there. Had his, I believe, his elementary, middle, high school, and college buddies out there on Sunday rooting him along there, that he was really feeling good, comfortable out in the situation. Unfortunately, that eight-foot putt on the 72nd hole had no chance, unfortunately. And so it was meant to be. Justin Thomas, he said he talked, actually, I believe, with the name is actually escaping me. He was actually, oh, Xander Schauffele. I guess I just had to give it a second for that Champa Bay to hit properly there. From down here at first, come on down, tap, get you there, get you some tacos, as we just finished up down here with our dinner and got the girls down here tonight after our nice horseback riding there. Had to tie into the theme, talking Kentucky Derby second half. But what did Justin Thomas do? He said, man, I've really been struggle putting. And that's really been, that was the last kind of the thing to unlock a victory for Justin Thomas. If you've been following him enough and listening to the Better Clubhouse here, as I hope you've been doing each and every Tuesday from 7 to 8, we said it's a matter of when, not if, for Justin Thomas. And he actually gained strokes. He was top 5 in putting for the week there and top 10 in approach. We knew the approach would be there. Only question was the driver, and it was the question of the flat stick. But he met with Xander, gave him a couple tips, was able to go out there, and put it all together. So hat tip of all for me. I had him in one of my hat tips up there with Scottie Scheffler. And Ludwig Oberg. Scotty showed a little bit on Sunday. I was telling my daughter there, I don't know if Scotty is there, going to do something. Eventually put three birdies in the row there. But, yeah, he's lingering. Definitely look for him at Quail Hollow. And also I really like him at the U.S. Open at Oakmont. Will probably be my pick for Scotty Scheffler. Plenty of more courses for him to be up there looking for that. But, yeah, unlock that. Great to see for Justin Thomas. When I look back at that leaderboard, and just at the final finishes there, another, I obviously mentioned Andrew Novak. That guy's been playing some ball. He's been golfing his golf ball plenty. He's been a first-round leader that I love to bet on. It, like Justin Thomas said, this guy can go low. You've seen it before. It's only a question of can he put it together for 72 holes. I mean, he's got, what did he, he's got, let's see, if I go back in his history there, three top fives and five top 15s in the last 11 starts there. The form is there. Obviously, Andrew Novak, not a world beater there that you might put in there as a pick there up against Justin Thomas. I think it was minus 155 on the playoff there. But he's right there playing great golf. Another name that I really liked to see up there at the top of the leaderboard last week was Daniel Berger. Nice top T3 finish there. Unfortunately, finished 53rd out of only 72 players there. Got to get that flat stick rocking, rolling. Top five stroke gains approach last week, second tee to green. He's going to be right there, coming there. I really look for him to Colonial, great spot for Daniel Berger. I'm not going to say Quail Hollow because I think your first one back being a major would be tough. It'd actually be his first major there, even though he's won on major tournaments before and major venues. But maybe a TPC Travelers, Southwind, St. Jude, that kind of thing for Daniel Berger. It's also interesting that Justin Thomas actually finished 11th, actually second strokes gained total, but actually 11th in tee to green, more that off the tee game, 48th, but like I said, 7th in approach and 4th in putting will get it done. And as we mentioned, and if you haven't seen it, actually on Thursday, right, played beautifully and actually missed a 5-foot putt on there, and I thought that might be his bugaboo for the week with that putter. It's good to see him be able to come over that. Golf is better when Justin Thomas is up there. He's got the face. He's got the name. And let's see if that actually, I think Rory McIlroy win kind of helped him, right? I think trying to get over that hump of Grand Slam, you'll hear this a lot, but I mean, we're talking over 3 years for Justin Thomas to get in the winner's circle there. And I'm not saying there, but kind of that belief kind of helps there. So I'm looking at you, Jordan Spieth, who is a name that we really haven't seen win lately. And definitely throw it in the comments section and tell me who's your next guy that's got got this monkey on his back. Who's going to get that out and try to get a victory coming up? If we switch, not tours, but switch to the other side, looking at Corrales, the Punta Cana Championship, If you haven't seen it now, go check out Joel Damon, his press round. I think quotes were, when I woke up, I finally woke up, and when I woke up, I lost the golf tournament, right? This guy was leading wire to wire. I think he was up by 3 or 4 coming down the stretch there. Unfortunately, bogey 16, bogey 17, bogey's 18, gives the win to Garrett Higo, now a two-time champion on the tour. He's got the flow. Go check out Garrett Higo. That flow looks like he's got some baseball hair going there, but definitely got the flow going. Now he's the king of Corrales, apparently. That's a pretty good name there. He can't be the champ of Corrales, and I can't take that, unfortunately, either, even though I had three guys in my top 10, finished second there. Did have Justin Thomas, so we'll go back-to-back with the Masters there. Wrote about this in the newsletter as well. 7 of the last 8 tournaments of my top 10 model that I do each and every week. Log on to the betterclubhouse.substack.com, see my history there. 7 of the last 8, I either had the winner or the runner-up in the last 8 tournaments on the PGA Tour. I've had some success, actually, here at Zurich. Kind of a weird tournament, being the only team event, 70 teams. Hit the winner here as well twice, I believe, in the last 3-4 years. So really looking forward to that. Stick around, and I'll give you my top 10 for the Zurich Classic. Looking forward to that and breaking that down as well. But, yeah, I think when I look at Data Golf here, I mean, they had Garrett Higo at the point here. So through 12 holes on Sunday there, they had Joel Damon at 71% and Garrett Higo only 16%. This is where, right, 1-800-GAMBLER. Make sure that you're not betting a house on somebody, minus 5,000 odds. Anything can happen, especially in golf there. And looking at all these playoff events, not a lot of betting unless you're betting the diamond there. Just be careful and that sort of thing. Nothing's guaranteed there. Just ask Joel Damon there. But he bogeyed after, so he was about 67% after 15. He moved down to 60% after 16. After 17, he was actually looking at, he bogeyed 17, they were actually tied. He moved all the way down to 30%, and then after that, obviously, missing that putt. He said he hit a good putt. The putt on 17, not so good. Go back there, he missed, I believe, a four-footer there, but we all feel for Joel Damon, great guy. Know the bucket hat well. So we'll see if he can bounce back there. Some other names, name that I mentioned was Jackie Chan Kim up there, finished 7th, 2 shots back. In my top 10, Keith Mitchell. That's a guy that I'm looking forward to this week. Actually, Garrett Higo is in the field as well, teed up with Ryan Fox. Keith Mitchell, another strong, 54 holes instead of 72. It's only a matter of time. Ah, that's an if, right? It's not a matter of time if Keith Mitchell. Unfortunately, he's got a lot of demons to fight there. I hope that he does, but I don't know if that he's in that win. He's still in the if. Jeremy Paul played well, finished 2nd. Actually, his brother finished 2nd as well. Yannick Paul played well over there in China, the Valvo China Open there. My guy, Thorbjørn Olsen, Michael there, Michael Thorbjørn Olsen, I call him Thor there, played really well. Didn't really have the form there, but finished 1 over on Sunday. Kind of was fighting it a little bit there. Finished 1 shot back, and obviously the guy I bet, the mailer came in the mail. If you don't know the story, for cremation, I had Roy McIlroy when me and my daughter were at the Rays game. Just before the Masters, they had a grand slam there, so looking forward. Said, oh, this week, got to figure out, I had Sam Burns. Actually, great showing for Sam Burns there, finished 12th. And then, obviously, Mr. Toasty himself, Alejandro Toasty, finished 1 shot back. Didn't really seem like a sweat due to the meltdown of Joel Damon there. But, hey, a win's a win. Get them all as you can there. Rico Hoey on him as well, finished 12th. So that's kind of the week that was. Shout out to Mr. Sammy there. Hopefully he's listening on RadioStPete.com. He cashed his top 20 parlay, as he does almost each and every week. If you're not following there, definitely check him out next week. He'll be back at it. Might have to hit him up after this show to see if he's got any movement on this week for the team event. He's not diving in as much into opposite field as well. But, hey, we'll ride the hot hand while you can. But at plus 394, he had Daniel Berger, aforementioned there. And he also had Seb Straka playing in this week as well. Finished top 13. Catch that plus 394 there. Shout out to Sammy for getting us there. Still looking for a win. I'm not going to lie about it. I haven't hit a win in a long time there. But I am focusing in on the model there. 7 of the last 8 outside of the Valspar, the home event, had well. Looking forward to that. That was a breakdown here at the Better Clubhouse, and I want everybody to let you know that this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you've been listening to, and you are listening to, and still will listen to for the next 45 short minutes there of the Better Clubhouse Live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill down here at 13th and Central, right in the backdrop of Tropicana Field, downtown St. Pete. Can't come there. Tune us on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. Tomorrow, you'll see us on Spotify if you have to step away. I forgive you with the playoffs. Plenty of action going on if you come on down to Ferg's. We'll do that on Spotify as well. But plenty of TVs. We got $3 tacos all night. We got Champa Bay flowing. Right now, we got the NHL playoffs on the TVs right now. Obviously, we got plenty of action that we're looking forward to. Obviously, our Tampa Bay Rays heading out west there, playing the Arizona Diamondbacks. First pitch, 9:40 there. If you need a name for there that I really like, player prop, Christopher Morrell. Christopher Morrell is the guy I'm looking for to have a big night tonight. Two hits, home runs, RBIs, Christopher Morrell there. But before we get into that, right, we actually got a game, right? And a lot of these people, if you're not able to make it over the bridge there and get inside Amalie Arena for round one, for the first game of the playoffs for your Tampa Bay Lightning there, going up against the defending champions, the Florida Panthers there. That's an 8:30 drop over there. So we got four games, actually, of the NHL playoffs right now. Carolina Panthers have scored two in the second period there. They lead 2-1 over the New Jersey Devils. 7:30, we're going down to Toronto. Go for game two there. Maple Leafs versus Senators. 8:30, we're going Bolts. And then you got the late night action for you, Degens, trying to chase those first three games there with the Golden Knights up against the Minnesota Wild. And you also have three playoff basketball games tonight. Game two for the Indiana Pacers, Milwaukee Bucks. See if the Bucks can bounce back there. We got the Memphis Grizzlies against OKC. OKC looking to go up 2-0 at 7:30 there. And then the late night action. See if the script is in the right favor for Luka and LeBron there, looking to bounce back after that game one loss there to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Plenty of action. Come on down to Ferg's. Plenty of TVs. They got all the action going. If you can't make it out there, plenty of there. Before we get to there, right, that's at 7 o'clock. A lot of those things are either tipped or going to tip. We'll take it to the bottom, top of the next hour, and then we'll be off there. Tune us in there. So we just recapped last week. Thanks to Sammy, we didn't walk away there totally empty, even though a second place does feel like a kick in the nuts sometimes. I definitely didn't feel well. Still looking for that win, still looking for that. But maybe this is the week that I need for a weird event, right? I mean, this is a team event. So if you're not aware of the Zurich Classic, let's step outside of the clubhouse for a minute onto the patio for the patio preview of the Zurich Classic that we're talking about this week. So Zurich Classic this week is playing at a Pete Dye Design, TPC Louisiana. It's not a signature event. It is a team event. For mention there, we got right around, I believe it's 70 teams or so playing. I believe maybe 79 there. I would say about half of those, maybe, I don't know, 15 to 20 of those either have a playing pro in it, but then somebody not with status. For instance, Eric Cole this week, local boy, is playing with Sam Saunders, who hasn't played. I believe Lee Hodges, Gary Woodland just WD'd earlier today. He's got Jason Duffner. When's the last time we saw Duffner play, right? So you got to kind of look at the team seriously, the dynamic. Or just, hey, stick around with me for 15 minutes. I'm going to break it down for you right now. There, we still got a cut. Top 33 in ties. There is daily fantasy this week. If you are playing that, only pick one of the players in the team. They're both cost the same. They get the same amount of points. Doesn't matter if one guy makes all the birdies and one burst guy makes all the pars. If you're looking for format this week, we got best ball, meaning that you and I play the same role. The team there, low score is what's carded for the team. I make birdie, you make par. The team takes a circle there, moves on to the next. We both birdie. We don't get any extra points or anything. We just get the birdie there. Key here, don't make a birdie on the same hole, right? What you will see in round one, majority of the time, it's going to be right around 11 under par. Definitely players looking for that 59 watch. If your player is shooting over 66, that's kind of my Mendoza line there to see if they're playing well or not. You got to be in that 64, 63 range in order to play well, and kind of you can't shoot yourself out of it. If you're shooting in the 70s, if you can't shoot under par in best ball, then the next day alternate shot's going to get even harder. But I do look at guys, it's kind of a free reign, definitely kind of think like your member guest type of tournament there, where it's kind of like, anybody can play it, little pressure's off. But I will say on Sunday, so Thursday and Saturday we're doing best ball. Everybody plays their own game, kind of easy. Pick up your ball if you throw it in the woods, that sort of thing. But it's come on Friday, Sunday, that alternate shot does get a little dicey on Sunday for sure, especially if you're Martin Trainer. If you go back 365 days there, hit it into the stands on the par 5, going up against Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. Defending champions are actually in the field this week. I can't tell if they're going to be sober or not. A lot of people are liking that connection there. Obviously, playing well as juniors and being around each other should play well again this week. Unfortunately, at under 4-1, I'm not going to be betting them this week, but it is a team I definitely have circled this week. So who are the names, champ, that you're looking at this week when I pull in the model? So in order for the look at the model, I will say it is a little, not janky, but I think it is. I mean, it's proven to work in that case, because I do have the stats here to kind of what I've done at the Zurich there. And so we are looking, so my model, just before I throw out the names there, I won last year, obviously, Rory McIlroy. That makes it easy. The year before, we had third, and second place, fourth place, first place, second. So every time, every year for the last 6 years, and they've been playing this tournament a while, just since 2019, they just started doing the team event. Before that, it was a regular event there. Actually, Billy Horschel has won this as an individual, and he's won it as a team. So definitely a guy. Really what you're looking for in the mindset here is somebody that really cares. It's not just a hit and giggle there. They're not out just to hit up New Orleans and Bourbon Street and gamble and do all that. And you're kind of looking for guys who have status, maybe guys that played well together, maybe some brothers perhaps. I know that the Fitzpatricks are here. We got the Pauls here, Yannick and Jeremy. And then we also have the Hobregards, right? Nikolai and and Rasmus are both here as well. So got to find the vibes there as well. But so my top 10 this week, when I look at it here, just breaking it down for you. Number one in mine is Sepp Straka and Bryce Garnett. Garnett's not been good lately. It's not all going to be. Could he is a proven winner, and he has won before, so I don't strike him all the way off. Just not a name there, but he's number one in my model. Number two in my model, Rico Hoey and Sam Ryder. Guys that can go low. I actually really like that pairing there. I think they're both going to play. I think they both have a lot to win. I think that they, guys that can go out low, first round leader bets. They got the early round pairing there, so I really like that. Third, Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. For these stats, I combine the individuals into a single team, aggregate those together. It spits out what we got for this week. This week, I'm kind of looking mid to long iron. I need putters, approach, birdies are better, and obviously scoring there is really helpful. Fourth in line, Ben Griffin, and aforementioned Andrew Novak from last week. Wyndham Hotels Clark teaming up with Taylor Moore this week. Ryan Gerard and Danny Walker, kind of a lower name guys, kind of stats guys, could vibe, could not. Colin Morikawa and Kurt Kitayama. Colin Morikawa has not had the greatest history here. He's played it multiple times with multiple partners, including Patrick Cantlay and other names. Kurt Kitayama, I believe they played last year. I actually bet him last year. Bad choice by me. But best finish for Colin Morikawa is T23. Obviously, he plays team events, but something about the dynamic or something just doesn't click. We'll see if it does click this week. Next up, seventh in line for me is Robbie McIntyre and Thomas Detry. European guys, I don't know how much golf they play together. Now we got a lefty-righty matchup. Don't know how that's going to go. But what I do know that could go well for these guys is that two guys that kind of stress and have some are kind of struggle sometimes at times. I've actually bet on Bobby Mack at the Masters miscut. He didn't play well last week either. So we'll see what happens there. Not two guys, I think the stats, and they are, they have the ability there. But I would get a little worried on Sunday, I'm not going to lie. One guy I'm not kind of worried about on Sundays, that'd be Nick Taylor, stunning enough. He's got the old Canada team this week with Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin. Kind of curious to see where they are there with the late tee time. They don't have the greatest late tee time there outside the one top 125 there. So we'll have to see there. And then last but not least is EVR, Erik van Rooyen, and Christian Bezuidenhout. It rounds out my top 10 there. If you had to point me in a direction there, so if I open up my phone here and go on to Hard Rock Bet there, just as we take a look at the odds board there and see who's going to give us some value. As I mentioned, Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry could go out and defend their title this week. but I'm not going to bet them at plus 350. I'm not going to bet Colin Morikawa at 11-1. The next name kind of makes sense for me. They're not in my top 10 due to JTP, the postman, not playing super well, but I think he's actually trending well. And the other guy was a guy that I mentioned earlier, Keith Mitchell, up there. So Keith Mitchell and JT Poston, 16-1. I really like, I do think Keith will, like I said before earlier on the show there, I don't know if it's when or if there, but I do like his vibes there. I do think this type of event could help him and that sort of thing. At a TPC course, he's played well in kind of these type of, he is known to go low. JTP has won at the John Deere, a very similar course, I would say, to Louisiana there. 16-1, I don't mind that. Deptree and McIntyre, 17-50, I'll pass. Billy Horschel and Tom Hoge. I think Billy Horschel loves this tournament. This guy is like a course for horse, as we're going to talk about Kentucky Derby there in about at the bottom of the hour there. But I do think this is a true course for horse, Billy Ho. I also know that he cares a lot. And you got somebody who loves approaches and can get that hot putter and Tom Hoge there. I don't like that. I don't mind that bet there at all at 22.50. Aaron Rye and, say, Tagawa. Tagawa's just been off, right? We've seen more highlights of him tomahawking clubs, not playing very well. Got that bad bounce last week off the catamaran, I think, or whatever that thing, the post that holds up before the water. Hits off that and goes in the water there. But if you're betting on talent, I don't mind. Ben Griffin and Andrew Novak, two guys that probably is going to be a sweaty Sunday for those guys, an alternate shot. Two guys I expect to win eventually. They have the game. I don't mind betting that longer odds there. Could be the tournament, but 22.50, probably off there. I'm probably going to be on the Hovegaard brothers. No secret that I love both of these guys. I think they both have class of the field. Both of these guys play on the European Tour, have won before over there. I like the vibes of the brothers, and at 25-1, I definitely will be on the Hovegaards this week. Looking further down the list, see if anybody kind of looks at me there. Let's see. Let's go with, keep scrolling. As Phil mentioned, Carl Phillips and Michael Thorbjornsson. I saw Phillips play at Valspar, the Aussie there. Both of these guys are young. Both can go low. A little wild on their scores, so I do wonder. But it's kind of what you need. You're kind of embracing the chaos this week, see what happens. But bombers of the ball. I'm not looking necessarily for distance this week, but I do think it helps on the par fives. You got to be able to play those well as well. But a name that I keep going down as well is going to be Jordan Smith and Rory Cantor. Both of these guys played well. I think Jordan Smith actually finished second in the aforementioned Volvo China Open last week. The only question for me is, how's that flight, right? I think a lot of these guys, you fly from China and now you're going to Louisiana. I'm sure they probably flew into Miami or maybe into New York. Maybe it's a, but I also think it's like a, this isn't your normal PGA Tour event, right? I think because you're flying in to play with your buddies, maybe you go out and play your public muni, get a round in with somebody just to knock off the rust. Then you go out with your buddies, right? And then you're playing and got the vibes and that sort of thing. Scrolling further down here, let's see if anybody deep down there. Jake Knapp and Frankie Sappen is cool at 75-1. Also, you got the Paul brothers down there as well. I think Jake Knapp actually won this type of event in the co-ed event with the LPGA back there. He's played well in that, won that. So anybody that kind of gives me those vibes, that's played well in the team event and that sort of thing, always good. Looking at Ryder Cup, looking at President's Cup, played in these type of events. Played in a shootout over there with the LPGA or whatever else. Any kind of team event success there as well is always good. If you're looking for first round leader bets there, let me go on over to that. Roy McIlroy 10-1, no thank you. Colin Morikawa 20-1, no thank you. Rasmus 30-1, don't hate. Billy Ho 30-1, don't mind that as well. Once again, a shorter field, so we're not going to get the greatest of odds here. Let's keep on, Smith, Lori and, Smith and, Cantor, 40-1, Rico Hoey and Sam Ryder, love that at 40-1, I don't know if they'll get it done on Sunday, two guys looking for that illustrious first win, but I know they can go low, and also a name that I keep popping up, and I kind of search the community there to see what kind of the popular bet is. This one is here, and that would be none other than Davis Riley and Nick Hardy. They have won this tournament, actually, before, a couple years back. And so you get these teams that play it over and over that enjoy it, and if they play well, you'll grasp at anything, kind of get an idea of what's going to work around TPC Zurich there. So looking forward to that. Sign up for the newsletter, the Better Clubhouse at Substack.com there to get all my picks. I'll have some first-round leader bets. I usually do a couple matchup bets this week, and then I'll also have an outright, obviously, for TPC Louisiana and the Zurich Classic. And obviously, we've reached the bottom of the hour, and I want to let everybody know that this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports, Tampa St. Pete Radio Network, and you are listening to the Better Clubhouse live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 13th and Central in downtown St. Pete. Also listening live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel there. If you like this show, we talk all kinds of sports. We actually got horse racing coming on just now. I guess we've added a barn to the clubhouse, so we'll have to go out there to see what we got for horses and jockeys and all that for the Kentucky Derby. But if you like a sport, so we got plenty of shows that Mike Rickard, the founder of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, has put a great host there. We got five shows. Monday, we got Big Monday. Just do a recap of the sports that was over the weekend, any cool things that happened, and that sort of thing there. And then we do a little humor. I think we got a comedian there. We'll do all that on Mondays. Tuesday, step inside the Better Clubhouse. We'll be breaking down bets all through the summer. We're going to throw in some baseball. Obviously, we break down the golf action. But if there's a sport you want us to cover here and you got a market for it, you got odds for it, let us know. The Better Clubhouse at Substack.com. Wednesday, we take a break. Thursday, we go on the tee, Florida. That's on the tee, Florida golf there, .com with two pros and a hack, Mike of Hack Nation. And then we got two pros. We got John Rager up there in St. Augustine Beach, teaching pro up there. And obviously, we got the man of the St. Pete Country Club Women's Eckerd's golf team there. Bill Butner was actually on the PGA Tour for 30 years there out there. So we got plenty of action. That'll cover there. Friday, we're going to bump that media, kind of give it a youthful look around sports, give it there. And then obviously, Saturday, back down at Ferg's for our Tampa St. Pete radio show out there as well. So hit us all up on that. Hit us up on the socials. That's the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connect Radio, Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network there. Join us there. So now, as I just mentioned, I think it only makes it right. Me and the dog just left the stables there. They're on the track. Got to get the vibes going. I can see the hats there. I think we almost got a full field. So, Bob Bauer, welcome into the Better Clubhouse as we step out into our barn in the new thing that we just added to the clubhouse. How are we doing on this Tuesday night?
Pretty good, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. I think it's kind of a I think we just had the Masters, right? And obviously March Madness just finished up. So we got plenty of big-name action. Last week was still a signature event. Justin Thomas went in over there. We actually had two events there. But I think in 2 weeks, what did I count? 13, what did I got? I think 17 days is what I think I put out there. We're looking at May 3rd, Kentucky Derby. I thought no one other than yourself as a radio St. Pete guy who's been on it before, got some picks, does some handicapping to kind of help the patrons of the clubhouse, me especially, get help making a bet and just looking at Kentucky Derby, and then also give us a little bit of history. Obviously, if for those that don't know, we have a great racetrack, almost 100 years old now, in Tampa Bay Downs, right up in the Oldsmar area, just north of Tampa there, still in that area. So just looking forward to our conversation tonight and talking some horses and talking some ponies. How's that sound?
Sounds great. You're right about Tampa Bay Downs. It's a jewel. If you're a horse racing fan, it is a racetrack not to be missed. It has good quality racing, has a beautiful track, it has a gorgeous turf course. The grass on the turf course rivals the fairways in many of the golf courses around here, and they baby their turf course. So anyway, it's become over the years well known among horsemen as a great place to run your horses, and good quality horses do run there.
Yeah, and I mean, that's actually a great point, and I think a lot of this actually will help kind of as we handicap golf and we talk about different courses and that sort of thing. You just mentioned the turf at Tampa Bay Downs, and we talk, is that going to be the same type of turf that they're going to be running at Kentucky Derby, or
no,
how many
Kentucky
tracks
Derby
are we talking
actually,
there? Yeah.
They're going to run on dirt, but Tampa Bay Downs also has a dirt course.
Okay.
And most people, many people may not realize that racehorses run either on a dirt course or a grass dirt course, a grass course. And now, of course, at Gulfstream Park, they have a what they call a polytrack artificial course, which doesn't get muddy when it rains. So it's and different horses prefer different footing. So that adds to the handicapping mystery sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's for golfers too. Like when I think of Shane Lowry, for instance, I think of him as a mudder. And I don't know if they use that term in horses or not, but definitely when the weather gets bad, Shane Lowry is a guy that I like to be out there versus a fair weather golfer that only might like it. But that's obviously when they go to Texas or California and that sort of thing. And looking forward to that. So I know that Kentucky Derby, usually when I look at a horse race, whether it's on, and I try to do that, I've only seen usually like maybe 8 or 10 horses. But I think for the Derby, we're almost up to like 20. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes. That adds to the handicapping mystery also, because sometimes, especially at the break, it's more of a street fight than actually a horse race, because there's a lot of bumping and horses have to check sometimes and riders get jostled and, you know, a lot of riders' plans go out the window about 10 seconds after the gate opens.
I think when we do that there, Bob, I think what it kind of rivals a when you have that much traffic, right, and that sort of thing. I think horses that can have that, look at that, I would assume they're there. But how much does the jockey play into that horse as well, and kind of guiding them through that traffic when we're talking about, or even being on the grandest stage of the Kentucky Derby? How much are you weighing into your handicapping the jockey and horse, whether it's the history there or with the horse or the owner? Or what are some key factors kind of you look into when you're trying to figure out a horse that might do well come on Kentucky Derby Day?
A jockey definitely makes a difference. With jockeys, it's like a lot of other things in sports. Maybe 20% of the jockeys win 80% of the races, just like, you know, in football, the great players, 20% of the players score 80% of the points or something like that. Anyway, and there's another saying in racing that a good jockey can't make a bad horse win, but a bad jockey can make a good horse lose. Because an inexperienced jockey can get a horse in trouble, get him in a blind switch where another horse comes over on him and he can't make his move and so on. So jockeys have to have a plan, and that's why across the country, if you study the statistics, you'll see certain jockeys, you know, win the most races every year. And so it's just like the best golfers win the best most of the tournaments too.
Yeah, for sure. I think that obviously when we look at like
Rory, definitely, they're professionals. They're definitely there's definitely different tiers of expertise.
And I guess when we look at the Kentucky Derby, are the same riders running in those other races that the horses have won? Because I know when I look at like a track, obviously these jockeys are running in multiple races on that track. But let's say, for instance, what was it? I believe Journalism won. He's the favorite in the field right now at +350. There, I believe he won at Santa Ana Derby. And so is the jockey that wins. Yeah, so the one that wins in that there, is that same jockey racing him all the time?
Yes.
Or are they kind of bringing him in special for, hey, no, this guy's done well at Kentucky Derby?
What usually happens with the better horses in the big races, a trainer finds a jockey who did well with the horses in the prep races, and then he'll bring that jockey back to ride him in the big races. Exactly what's going on with Journalism. They won the Santa Anita Derby. Luis Saez, Umberto Rispoli is riding for Mike McCarthy. Now he's going to ride him back again.
Okay. And I think he's what, looking for like his fifth straight win? Did I read that right?
He's won three graded stakes in a row.
Wow.
And the last one was the Grade One Santa Anita Derby, and echelons of the better races are divided into tiers: Grade One, Grade Two, Grade Three. Grade One is the best, and there's another saying in horse racing: Grade One horses win Grade One races. So yeah, he deserves to be the favorite.
And I guess, are there any other ones? Because I like value. Obviously, I could bet Scotty Scheffler every week and that sort of thing. And I know that when I talk to handicappers and horses, they're like, man, I'd take 6-1 all day long, right? Because I mean, even the second Sovereignty, it looks like, is 7-1 there right now. But I think, like, so when we look at those Grade One horses, do we have a lot of Grade One type of horses in this field, or is it
yes,
really
yes.
just
well, most of them have been in grade
no okay.
no no Most of these have, if they haven't won a grade one, they've won a grade two or grade three, which is no slouch either. So, I mean, grade one is a good, you know, mark of, you know, accomplishment, but that doesn't mean a grade two horse can't come up and knock off a grade one horse.
So you can't go just to the checkboard there and look for grade one, check them off, and cross off names, right?
I have a horse I like a lot. You talk about value. He's 30-1 on the morning line, and I've got many reasons why I'm going to use this horse on Derby Day. And I'll tell the whole world about him. I told the whole world about his father, Justify, who won the Triple Crown in 2018. In fact, I was on Radio St. Pete, and I gave it to the whole world. And he won the Triple Crown. He won all three races, the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. And that was Justify. Now, this horse is American Promise, and he just won Virginia Derby in his last race very impressively. And he's working out very well. He looks like his old man, Justify. And his trainer is none other than D. Wayne Lucas, who is the granddaddy of all Kentucky Derby. Because he's an older gentleman. He's well in his 80s. He still rides his pony every day. And he's a horseman's horseman. And if D. Wayne Lucas is bringing this horse to the Kentucky Derby, people should pay attention.
I love that.
And his mother... His mother's father was Tappet, so his mom is a Tappet mare, and that has a lot of stamina in the bottom half of his pedigree. So anyway, he's going to outrun his odds, I'll say that. And I'm going to bet him to win in place, probably, and I'll use him in exactas and so on and so forth with journalism and some of the other contenders.
But yeah, I love that. I think
that's a very, very important horse. Sometimes horses just jump off the paper at you. And the other thing about this horse, he's at church, just got into Churchill. He's working out very well right now. And they just worked him 2 miles around the track, which is a sign of his stamina. And he woke up last time. That would mean what he just ran. This was the biggest race of his life. He just won, and jockey Nicky Juarez was on him for the first time. And Wayne Lucas is putting Nicky Juarez back on him today. They're shipping him in with the horse. So this is a very serious horse to pay attention to.
And that is, if you haven't heard on the Radio St. Pete there, that's American Promise right there from Bob. His pick, great value. I mean, he's saying 30-1 right there. I'm seeing 25-1. So still. I mean, he's, I see at least what? We got 1, 2, 3, 4 times three across. I see 12 other horses in front of him. So what I actually like there as well, and you just mentioned a couple bets there. And people are, obviously, if you're looking, it's kind of similar if I tried to track down betting-wise. Obviously, win, they have to win the whole thing, and then you get the money from that. But there are other ways to win, right, Bob, as far as you mentioned, the exact win, place, and share, and that sort of thing.
Where you pick first and second, or trifecta, where you pick first, second, and third. And the other thing about the Kentucky Derby with the 20 horses in the field and such a famous race, you know, the most famous race in the world, the pools are enormous. That's why if you can get a big, like put this way, in a regular 10 race horse race at any track, if two horses win the exact, it might pay $30, $40 or you know, a decent price for a $2 bet. I cashed an exacta at the Kentucky Derby. Actually, a Wayne Lucas horse won it, too. Charismatic in 99, I think it was. Anyway, he paid 20-some dollars to win, and he was in a $2 exacta with his horse, Benefee, who ran second in the Tampa Bay Derby, who I liked. I put those together in an exacta, and it paid $780 or something like that. You can hit a lick in the Kentucky Derby for not that much money, you know. But never bet money that you can't afford to lose either.
There you go.
One thing about race horses, you love them, and they can all do what they can do, but they can all lose too.
That's right. That's right. And then they might fall or bite each other or something. You never know.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, we've seen some crazy stuff on there. There you go.
There's been disqualifications even in the Kentucky Derby, you know, because also the other thing about right now, especially the people that result in the Kentucky Derby, is 3-year-old horses are like teenage kids. And anybody who's ever dealt with kids like in high school sports something, you'll know that They grow at leaps and bounds, both mentally and physically. The same thing with three-year-old horses. They figure things out from one race to another, and they mature more. So anyway, to me, it looks like with this horse, American Pharaoh, or American Promise, I mean, looks like the light got turned on last time, you know, and he woke up, and now he's worked. It just seems like the horse has turned the corner, you know. And Wayne Lucas is, like I say, he's one of the best trainers that's ever been in the game. He's won the Kentucky Derby several times over the years. So,
I think the
horse could not be in better hands in my book.
Yeah, that's perfect. And I think when I think of the Kentucky Derby, like you mentioned there, you mentioned another horse that this one is son of or whatever of that horse, right? Justify, yeah. Right? Of that family,
yeah,
of that breed, right?
Yeah. Son of Justify.
Yeah, so you have that, and then you have the winner, right? And then you have the owner, right? I think a name that I think of, and I'm not even, I think every time I think of Kentucky Derby, it's Bob Baffert, right? I think of...
Yeah, Bob Baffert that, yeah. Has horses in the Derby also. He has... a couple that
yes, well, what I'm trying to, I guess when you go to that type of top of the league thing, like for instance, if you're looking at basketball, right, you're probably thinking of Greg Popovich, right, or you're thinking of LeBron James or whatever these names are, and I think right. What you're trying to say there and trying to link up, do you look at like past performances when
I know you mentioned
American Promise there, but are there any tracks or any finishes that the patron should look at to say, oh, if you placed well at this race, you probably have a better chance, or that might do something.
Yeah,
if they
want
to try to do the information.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in the past performances, and I use speed figures and pace figures also, which they're not out yet for the Derby yet. But speed figures are important because two horses can win, let's say, look at a mile and an eighth. They can win in the same time, and basically, but one will get a bigger speed figure because the people that make the speed figures, they take in the track bias, they take in whether the condition of the track that day, and they kind of refine the raw times of racehorse. Just because one horse, you know, ran 2/5 of a second better than the other one at the same distance, doesn't necessarily mean he's a faster horse. If they're coming from two different tracks, because maybe they're coming from, one's coming from Tampa Bay Downs, which is a heavier track and sometimes runs a little slower times, and the other is coming from Aqueduct in the wintertime, which is known to be a speed favorite. Kind of.
That's great information, Bob, and I just want to let our listeners know there that this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill down here at 13th and Central, right in the backdrop of the old gray lady with her top off down here at Tropicana Field. And we're streaming live on the RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. Come on down. We got plenty of TVs. We got all the action. We got NBA on tonight. We got NHL got going tonight. We got baseball, obviously. We got the Rays first pitch there at 9:40. And just talking to Bob Barrett, a little Kentucky Derby right now. Obviously, the first Saturday in May coming up very soon, May 3rd there. Obviously, we got about 2 weeks away. Looking forward to that. Just breaking that down. And Bob, why don't you give our patrons just a little insight and just into your history of handicapping for horses. And then also, let's let them know about the great jewel that we have right in Oldsmar at Tampa Bay Downs.
Yeah, I'm a lifelong horse player. I grew up in upstate New York, in Albany County, not too far from Saratoga, and my, you know, mom and dad took me to the racetrack at Saratoga, so I grew up playing the horses, and Albany, New York is a horse-playing town. It's when Saratoga's open, the whole town just, you know, goes horse racing crazy. But anyway, I came to the Tampa Bay area in the late 80s, and first time I went to Tampa Bay Downs, I fell in love with the place, and I really liked it. And I was fortunate enough to get a job with the St. Pete Times, being a handicapper and track correspondent. And I basically got paid to go to the racetrack every day. And I loved it. And I got to know some people in the publicity department at Tampa Bay Downs, and I was an assistant to the publicity director there for a while, a couple years, I guess. You know, because this is way back, so far ago, I can't remember all that.
I guess when the track's about to turn 100.
Give my age away now, you know.
But I guess, when they, and as you mentioned, and I would be the first one to say, I'm a degenerate better, and I love to bet on anything from table tennis to, even back in the COVID days, I bet on simulated tournaments, whether it was hockey or whatever else was going on there. But one thing, my father's big into it and does all that type of thing, but I just never really got into horses. I don't know if it's just it's not a person and that sort of thing. And I know we have Tampa Bay Downs, and we actually got – and actually this is a great crossover, right, Bob? Because I believe there's a a golf practice range right beside Tampa Bay Downs?
Yeah, that's right. If you're a golfer – they have everything there but a full-blown golf course, but it's a PGA-level golf training center, and they have all kinds of instructional situations set up for golfers. You know, they have a driving range, they have a chipping range, they have big putting greens, they have all that. They have a golf fest once or twice a year where they lower the prices on all kinds of golf clubs, and you can demo them and trade your clubs in and buy new clubs. But if you're a golfer, you can be there. Other thing, you can be there on the tee practicing your drive, and you can be watching the horses on the TV, and you can do it all.
Hey, if there's an exchange of money there, there you go.
The horses at the same time if you want.
Man, you can have a full day there for sure.
There's something for everybody at the
ground.
It's a great place.
And I guess, when are they racing there, Bob? I know that I believe the season's just finishing up, right? And when do they kind of start back up before people try to run out there this week? So, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to race. They're racing tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week. And then next week, they're going to race Wednesday. Friday and Saturday is Kentucky Derby Day, and that's the day they close. So that's it till next season. And they will open up on the day before Thanksgiving. And then they run all winter long till the first weekend in May.
Is that now that's not for all racetracks, right? This isn't just like when Kentucky Derby's done. This is just for Tampa Bay Downs specifically, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, Tampa Bay Downs is a winter race. No, every racetrack sets their own schedule depending on lots of factors. Depending on the state they're in. Sometimes the state awards them certain days to open, depending on the judge. But there's a lot of legal things and so on and so forth.
That makes sense.
They all set their dates.
Yeah, so that's actually, so what we're talking about is if you wanted to go to Tampa Bay Downs, they're racing this week and next week, obviously Saturday being Kentucky Derby. I believe the first is the cutoff there, which is actually next Thursday. So now that I got my math and my calendar all straight, we're talking 7, 8, 9, we got 11 days until the Kentucky Derby there. And I think we're looking forward to I would love to spread more light, especially on this show here, the Better Clubhouse, of that gambling aspect of horse racing, whether we're breaking it down. I think there is a lot of, there's a golf course right beside it, so I think it's just a match made in heaven there of trying to do that. So when we talk about horse racing there, and just to kind of get the agile recreational guy into it, or girl there, when I think of horse racing, I think of the movie Let It Ride. Have you ever heard that one, Bob?
Yeah, sure. I've seen it many times.
So I'm wondering out there, what is your favorite horse movie? And it doesn't have to be that. Obviously, I know Secretariat is up there and that sort of thing. But if it's just a casual one to kind of get a glimpse into what it would be like and try to get into it, see if they like it and that sort of thing. Obviously, it's the fastest 2 minutes in sports there. I try to say, hey, don't. I try to tell my oldest because both my daughters are into horseback and doing some dressage and cantering and all that good stuff. They're like, oh, it's only 2 minutes. And I'm like, well, I guess when you're older, we'll go in the midfield because I know the Preakness, especially the infield, the party's there. Running on the toilets, we'll have to do that for sure when they get a little bit older. They're still in the third and fifth grade. They're still trying to do that for sure. But what I think there is like, what are some movies or just some things that people can kind of think about or look into if they're trying to get more into horse racing and not just do it for these next three races that are coming up?
You know, I think these days I used to tell people to read handicapping books and things, but you know, that's kind of gone by the wayside. You can go on YouTube on sports and there'll be different handicappers that are telling you about how they pick horses, because there's many schools of thought in handicapping. There's, you know, some people pick the horse that comes from the most successful barn, you know, the most, you know, much like if it would, sometimes people pick the horse on popularity. Once again, saying, look, right now, if it was a golf tournament, there's people that would bet Tiger Woods, because he's the most famous name, even if Tiger Woods isn't what he used to be, because he's an older guy now and he's had injuries and so on and so forth. And that's, so that's, you have to be a contrarian a little bit sometimes to make money in horse racing too, because you can't, because if everybody bets the favorite, you're not going to make any money.
Oh, preaching, you're preaching wins. To the right choir of the patrons here. We don't bet Scotty Scheffler or Rory McIlroy every week.
In racing, the favorite only wins a third of the time, so that means he loses two-thirds of the time.
And to that point there, Bob, it's not willing to even place the favorite to just hit the podium, either win, place, or show there, because you're not even, you can't even win your money back if the favorite's only finishing third each week, can you?
Not unless there's a price on them.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the thing. So you got to get odds for your money, and that's a good thing about horse racing. See, at a casino, you bet $100 on a blackjack game. You win unless you get blackjack. You get $100 back. It's even money.
Yeah.
Horse racing, you get 4, 5, 10 to 1 on your money sometimes.
Yeah, and I'd love to do that for next week. I don't know your schedule there, Bob, but I know we got so next week will be next Tuesday, the 29th year. I say we go ahead, because you actually looked it up on Hard Rock, and I don't know. I think last year they had some matchup bets that I put in there, but they didn't have exactas or that. But let's go ahead and go ahead, and if you're not available, that's fine. We can go ahead and put it in our newsletter on Monday or Wednesday. But let's give the people some tickets there. I know that we tried to circle them. We got them in there already with American Promise. I think journalism's up there as well, and you put those two together with an exacta. Especially, as Bob will tell you, you put in anything with 25-1 odds on top of anything, that's going to be a nice parlay and a nice ticket there, and you can box it. And we'll talk about all the bets as we do next week. But, Bob, if somebody wanted to reach out to you and get some more information, or you got anything to plug for the patrons, feel free to do that right now for you.
The only thing I would say about horse racing is tell folks, when you start out, make small bets. Because it's a lot more complicated than sports betting, where you just have, it's a lot more complicated than the NFL or anything like, you know, you're only betting two
There's teams. Multiple sides, right? And multiple teams, multiple factors.
There's a lot of things that can happen. Like, you can think the race is between the 2 and the 3 horse all day long. Guess what? The 2 and the 3 both lose in the 9 horse. You know, so I mean, the game will keep, another saying is the game will keep you humble.
Oh, yeah. That's what Joel Damon backers last week. He was winning by 4 shots and then bogeyed the last 3 holes there, Bob, to lose by 1. So as much as we love sports unpredictable, and that's what we love about it, but, gamble responsibly there. We love to bet on this one as far as we try to get value, and I think, I mean, that was just scripted there. People would be like, man, Champ found another guy who just bets down the note. No, Bob, I didn't tell Bob to pick anybody, and I think Bob does American Promise there. You saw the facts behind it, and that's the thing. If we can find value and then add a story, and is it plausible, and to make it fun, like I tell people, Bob, our goal is just to make to be fun, entertainment, sweat a little bit, and if it gets over the finish line, even better. But instead, we'll enjoy a mint julep, and we'll have a hat on, and we'll have a good time doing it. How's that sound?
That's what it's all about, for sure.
Bob, I appreciate you joining us tonight.
I love talking about horse racing.
Yeah, we'll do it again. If you're available, we'll jump you on next week and love to talk. And obviously, we'll talk Preakness coming up, and we got the Belmont. And we'll be looking forward to your pick for American Promise there. Really appreciate you joining the clubhouse tonight.
Yeah, we have another whole week of workouts at Churchill to watch and see who was working out well over the track, too. Because that's another thing with racetracks. They're not uniform, you know, like the composition of the dirt and so on, they're different, you know, in different parts of the country. And sometimes, especially Churchill, it's known as being a kind of a temperamental kind of track. Some horses like it, some horses don't.
Yeah, and we'll have another week of
well in their workouts.
Because I think right now, just the horses are getting introduced to Kentucky, right? And that maybe they've never been there or raced there, so we're still getting accustomed to it. Just like your baseball or your football team might have to travel on the West Coast, get over there, get accustomed, time zone, all that. The horses doing the same thing. So really appreciate you, Bob, joining us up there, closing out the show there. We'll have you back next week, or at least get your thoughts and put them in the newsletter there. Thanks, Bob.
Any false favorites now?
We'll do it. That was Bob Bauer. Yeah, I mean, great conversation. Knows horses inside and out. I'll do my best to see what he's got lined up. Obviously, there. Looking forward to next week. This weekend, we got the Zurich Classic. Looking forward to that. And then the following one, we got golf. And then we also got Kentucky Derby on the third Saturday, May 3rd there. Looking forward to that. Hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We got a little bit of golf, a little bit of horses. If there's a sport that you want us to cover next time for next week, throw it in the comments there. If you got a bet or a horse or anything you're looking forward to, always hit us up on the Better Clubhouse at Substack.com. And you've been listening to the Better Clubhouse Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection broadcast live from the 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. For myself on the control, I think I did a pretty good job. Really appreciate Bob Bauer joining us, RadioSt.Pete.com, Joe Bordeaux, and also a shout-out to the mastermind behind the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, Mike Rickard. Thank you for listening to the Better Clubhouse. God bless you, and God bless America.